Hey, everybody, super intriguing chat into the world of private 5G today with the leader GXC. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Evan.
Well, thanks for being here. GXC is a company that's been making waves, electromagnetic waves, for some time in the 5G space. But for those who aren't aware, maybe introduce yourself and then a quick intro to GXC.
Yeah, so I'm the global EVP of enterprise sales, so think direct to enterprise for GXC. And GXC offers a all-in-one private cellular solution. And what I mean by that, it's everything out of the box, the radio, the SIMs, the software to manage it. You can pull that right out of the box, and within 5 minutes, I'm a sales guy, I can set up a 4G or a 5G network available for the enterprise. One of the other claims to fame is we are the only ones that provide a option for a cellular mesh as well in the 4G or 5G space. So that's kind of our two large differentiators for GXC and why we're being so successful in the market today.
Well, it's a fascinating area, so much opportunity, so much growth. One big question that comes up again and again is Wi-Fi versus private cellular technology. It's a pretty nuanced topic. It's not black and white, but give us your point of view on how your technology, you know, complements, enhances, sometimes replaces Wi-Fi.
Yeah, so we don't advocate for a customer to completely, remove Wi-Fi. We believe that private cellular actually complements it. What we mean by that is you use private cellular where Wi-Fi, in some respects, has had some its limitations. And we talk about carpeted areas and non-carpeted areas. And what we mean by non-carpeted, it's anywhere that's outside of the office. Think a warehouse or a factory or an industrialized location in a floor or agriculture that's outdoor. Because Wi-Fi has had its limitations with regards to outdoor connectivity for sure. How often have you been able to connect to an outdoor Wi-Fi access point, a public access point that, you know, it just doesn't work. Mobility is a big one. Handovers on Wi-Fi is not as optimized as what it is on cellular. And then there's a lot of security aspects around the use of private cellular versus Wi-Fi that you can use in an enterprise. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you can see where you know, cellular is not for everything. It's not for every application, but where you can use it, that is how you complement your overall enterprise networking stack, right? So in a way to provide a connectivity solution for your enterprise or for your customers.
Yeah, such a powerful opportunity. And you're known for your own proprietary cellular mesh technology that you've developed and enhanced over the years. For those who aren't familiar, I mean, at home, I have a little mesh network of sorts. But it really gets interesting when you talk about large campuses and giant warehouses and open outdoor spaces and farms and other places. So for those who aren't familiar, maybe describe the approach to your mesh technology and how you deploy it, some of the benefits.
Yeah, so if you think about it, one of the biggest differentiators for the private cellular is for outdoor, for every 10 Wi-Fi access points you might have to deploy outdoor, you only need one access point, and it's a 4-to-1 ratio indoor. So less access points, less things to manage and less things to break, right? With respects to mesh, think about it as deploying a mesh node where you don't have internet. You might have power. I always like to use an agricultural, in the agriculture industry, maybe, you know, a production. One example is we're deployed at a the Molly Karen Ohio State Research Farm. It's 2,100 acres. We are, they needed to be able to connect both, soil sensors, weather sensors, including also just their tablets and things that they use for research, and also connecting autonomous or connected vehicles to that location. So we were able to deploy 2,100 acres, one mesh node at a grain silo that was 105 feet that didn't have internet, and but they had power. And so that was able to connect the 2,100 acres from one access point to the mesh node at about 1.5 miles away. And you're able to deploy, a network that you can get 20 to 40 megabits per second, which is sufficient for their needs. And we did that within, 4 or 5 hours. And that's something that, is really, really, you can't do with Wi-Fi, right? And that really highlights kind of where the mesh highlights its use case. There's a few others, but that have really stood out. But it's really about, hey, I can't get an internet here. I don't want to pay it for trenching, and I don't want to pay for Starlink for another or something else that's a wireless backhaul. And you can deploy these nodes and fill in the gaps.
Wow, such an important use case, and it extends well beyond agriculture, critical infrastructure as well. I can imagine water treatment plants and building sites, and also places that have really strict requirements for network security, where we have a critical reliance on this technology and the supply chain around it. And you know a thing or two about that. I think you're working with different agencies in the government, maybe the DOD or other aspects of the military. Maybe talk about that and how you can secure these networks in a way that maybe other kinds of technology isn't as secure.
Well, first of all, security and encryption is inherent to the cellular network itself. Think about you actually have a physical SIM or a physical key, right, that resides on the actual device that will be connecting to the network. You're also authenticating that device, that end device, and you have full operational control of the connectivity of way that it does connect to the network. It's also, you don't see a bunch of broadcasted cellular signals out there, or cellular networks, unlike Wi-Fi that you can, typically open up and look and browse and see everybody's Wi-Fi networks there. And so there's a lot of security protocols that are inherent to cellular. One of the big things is that the device, the cellular network actually, is deployed with an on-prem server. That server, it can be, and typically that's the way the enterprises do that. That server can reside behind the firewalls and the existing security aspects that the enterprise has deployed. And so the network itself and the way that we've architected the network is enterprise ready. It's if you're familiar with how you can manage and operate a Wi-Fi cellular network, you can put in a Wi-Fi network. You can put in a cellular network, and it really looks very similar with all the existing and new security protocols around it. So we're seeing some good success in how that is deployed.
Yeah. And let's talk about deployment, because, a lot of times you might not have an IT person on a site at a power plant, or a farm necessarily that has familiarity with cellular technologies. But I've heard some stories that it's kind of plug and play in some cases. How deploy in minutes, hours? What does a deployment typically look like?
Yeah, if you want to deploy a localized private cellular network, we have all the way down to mobile kits or starter kits that come in a collecting case. It's an all-in-one plug and play. You just plug it into a power receptacle. You provide maybe a backhaul, and you have something within 5 minutes that you can deploy an indoor and even a limited outdoor network. Now, it gets a little more complicated when you're dealing with an enterprise and you want it to have fully redundant. You want it on, the infrastructure that they have in place, like a building or a tower or a light pole or whatever else that they want. But typically the installation and doing pulling cable and things like that is, three or four X the time that it takes to really turn up the network. Give you an example, a full factory of 20 to 25 nodes with hazardous locations, explosive locations, radioactive locations, high environmental locations on one factory floor. The network, I think it was like 30 buildings. Just to give you an idea, it took about a week to install. Wow. That's pulling power and everything on about 25 nodes, but only took about a day to turn it up and optimized. So a day that's at the end, we come in, turn it up, optimize it, complete the full networking, making sure that it's optimized and ready to go. So, the effort to get that network up and running, depending on the enterprise and the use case, it can be very quick.
That's huge. And that's what a great opportunity in these days of labor shortages and finding people with expertise to deploy these things is not straightforward, to say the least. You're a sales guy, but we're not going to get into pricing. That would be too much for a short chat. But I mean, a lot of the private 5G solutions that I've seen out there are really sort of telco centric. They're extremely robust and reliable, but they're big, they're kind of rack mountable solutions, and they can be expensive, again, without getting into absolute numbers. But you really designed this for the enterprise at enterprise price points. Is that right? I mean, imagine that's part of the value prop as well, is CapEx. So how do you see yourselves in that world versus, a traditional, telco rollout?
You kind of outlined it directly. A lot of those that have been in the telco world have taken that equipment, stripped it down, or, it's the same stuff, but they've lowered the feature sets, and it's still high end equipment to do this. And we did the exact opposite. We built it from the ground up specifically for the enterprise. The features that you need, or what you get, the features that you don't need, well, you're never going to use them anyway, so why buy them, right? And so we've really looked at the market itself. We've looked at what traditional Wi-Fi managed Wi-Fi services are, and fit the model of private cellular into that model as well, so that a buyer or a procurement person within a enterprise can say, well, I can do Wi-Fi or I can do cellular, and it's almost the same effort and the same price points, similar, and the economics, it's you can use as much data as you want, just like Wi-Fi, right? You can use as many SIMs as you want, just exactly like that's the encryption side of it, where you secure that thing. And really what you're doing is you're paying by the node or the AP that's deployed. And then there's a management that's on that. So a subscription base. And it's very similar to how it's purchased today in the networking space. When people are looking at deploying and operating a mobile network.
Yeah, such a great value proposition. It seems like a no-brainer on my end, but and yet globally, the private 5G market is slower to take off than we had anticipated or hoped. You know, industry wide. Mm-hmm. You know, do you think that's because of what reasons? Some countries don't have private 5G licensed, I guess. Pricing, you know, that might be another one. You know, you see a lot of heavy telco grade products that are quite expensive compared to Wi-Fi. But what else, you know, is kind of, slowing the adoption or slowed the adoption? How can we remove some of those roadblocks out there?
We spend a lot of time in education. Even though everybody understands what I've heard of 4G or they've heard of 5G, they don't understand yet the difference. And it's coming around, I think, over the last year or so, that what is private cellular? I asked that question and we have to start out with that. Do you understand what the differences are between public, as we would say, as traditional cellular services, and private cellular? And so another one is it's really around that education. Another one is they're so used to Wi-Fi and the limitations of Wi-Fi that they really have to see it to understand, hey, this is really a benefit versus just believing it. And I'll give you an example. We were in another chemical factory walking around with a Wi-Fi person who is a managed services that does Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And we're in areas that are heavily RF, you know, troubled locations, vats and pipes and metal and everything, and 3-4 stories, no open areas. And, you know, the traditional Wi-Fi is like, I wouldn't touch this. You know, it would be too expensive. It would be too hard. And we can walk in and, you know, one node at a pretty decent gain antenna and strategically placed and do a huge, you know, one access point versus who knows how many with Wi-Fi. And again, it's about they don't see the scale until they see it, right? Once they see it and experience it and they can be in a location like that, that was traditionally never able to have coverage, both on public or Wi-Fi, public cellular or Wi-Fi, and then see how easy it is to deploy, then the light clicks, right? They're like, okay, I get it. And then also, I think it also has to do with pricing. You've got people trying to get out there. They're used to traditional pricing from telcos. They try to price it the same way. Enterprise looks at it and go, you're crazy. I'm not going to do that. Or maybe they will, but they'll do it at a very small locations. They're not scaled correctly. And so I think we're starting to see that open up a bit. And GXC is kind of at the forefront of making sure that we get a good product, secure product, and something that the enterprise can consume at scale. And that's really the issue that we've seen in the past, and we're trying to correct that.
Wonderful mission, of course. I do a lot of work in the healthcare IT space, and one of my constant disappointments is Wi-Fi in hospitals and healthcare settings, whether you're visiting or you're a patient or you're visiting family, just a constant struggle. And I hope the industry adopts more technology like yours to really upgrade that provider experience, the patient experience, and even, you know, the facilitators, the administrators, doctors, nurses need better communications infrastructure and tools. And let's hope, you know, you're going to make some headway there as well. What's next? I know you guys have a lot on the agenda. Any travel or trips or events coming up?
Well, we are getting pulled for me. We are getting pulled by US-based companies to Europe and Latin America. And so, you know, I have some travel moving around. And again, it's trying to figure out the best way to deploy each technology in a region. One example is, you know, we're seeing 5G, the benefits of 5G and the consolidation of the bands in Europe. to really enable 5G in 78. Whereas here in the US, we're still kind of in that CBRS, band 48, lower megahertz. And so availability for 5G. And so when we start seeing that, we'll start seeing the scale. So in that case, we're moving outside of the US a bit and we're getting pulled to do that, which is good. As far as trade shows, I am in the ag space. And so I look at really, and when we say agriculture, we're not talking about small farms. We're talking about food processing, food processors, food production. So think manufacturing of food. And so I'll be at, I think the next one is Pork Live, not Pork Live, excuse me. It's a World Pork Expo in June in Des Moines, Iowa. We'll also be at Connect X, I think in about in 2 weeks in Atlanta. You know, and so really it's about getting the word out in each industry vertical that, you know, where the enterprise buyers are and the consumers are, and that's where we're trying to get in those particular verticals.
Wonderful mission. World Pork Expo. Wow. That was not on my radar list, but as a pork consumer and lover, that would be an interesting one to visit.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of, you know, it's great. I love going to these shows in the agriculture space. You know, there's the, so one recent one that I went to is Peak, which is a poultry expo out of Minneapolis. That was about 2 weeks ago. Another big one in that space is IPPE. That was in February. And again, that's the international poultry producers, but really it's around protein production. You know, and so we're learning about, and they need it. They need this kind of cellular connectivity because they're in areas that traditional suppliers don't supply, and they're in areas that they're RF intense areas that they need to be able to cover. And so, you know, private cellular is a really good fit. So we go where we
go. As long as you can sample the products, maybe some fried chicken or some pulled pork, I'm all in favor of going to these shows.
Oh, the food is incredible. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, so fun, so interesting, informative. And you and the team put out some very educational content. I encourage everyone to follow GXC on GXCIO on Twitter, LinkedIn, and more. Thanks, Sean.
Hey, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
And thanks, everyone, for watching. Take care. Bye-bye.